From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Weapons Doomed to Fail. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. There is a great clatter in the forges and smithies of the enemy. They are making weapons wherewith to smite the saints. They could not even do as much as this if the Lord of saints did not allow them, for he has created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. But see how busily they labor, how many swords and spears they fashion. It matters nothing, for on the blade of every weapon you may read this inscription, It shall not prosper. But now listen to another noise. It is the strife of tongues. Tongues are more terrible instruments than can be made with hammers and anvils, and the evil which they inflict cuts deeper and spreads wider. What will become of us now? Slander, falsehood, insinuation, ridicule, these are poisoned arrows. How can we meet them? The Lord God promises us that, if we cannot silence them, we shall at least escape from being ruined by them. They condemn us for the moment, but we shall condemn them at last and forever. The mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped, and their falsehoods shall be turned to the honor of those good men who suffered by them.
If I gain the world, but had not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gained the world but had not Jesus, would my gain be worth a life of strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior, when I come to die, how would it be? Oh, to face the valley's gloom without Him, and without Him all eternity. Oh, the joy of having all in Jesus. What a
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns commences the second of two messages on the theme, Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, having expounded the doctrine of justification, Paul now takes up the believer's security and assurance. Verse 5 speaks of the Holy Ghost having been shed abroad or poured into our hearts at the moment of our salvation. In verse 6, the apostle goes on to show that in giving Christ to die on the cross, God provided the greatest possible demonstration of his love toward sinners. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce this message bearing the title, Saints Secure in Christ Crucified and Risen from the Dead.
We reach Romans chapter 5, continuing there. We're in the section verse 5 through to verse 11. We have covered the first great statement of verse 5. We will be continuing from verse 6 tonight. Romans chapter 5, we'll commence reading at verse 5 through to the end of verse 11. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word for his name's sake. Now, if you've got a very good memory, you may recollect I've pointed out that Romans 4 marks the end of the very full, formal treatment of the subject of our justification. Paul has explored the subject. He has answered every conceivable objection. And while he will continue to throw light upon it in the ensuing chapters, nonetheless, from chapter 5, he is really dealing with the one great result of justification, and he's going to follow that result through in many ways. But as I've taken time to establish from the text in chapter 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, right through, the emphasis is upon the security that Christians have because of justification. Chapter 4 ends that Christ was delivered on account of our offenses. He was raised again on account of our justification. Therefore, chapter 5 begins, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that launches Paul into the extended treatment that he gives us of this wonderfully important subject of the security of believers in Jesus Christ. And something that is closely allied to the subject of the believer's security is the believer's assurance. Those words may seem synonymous to many of you. In fact, they are not. You may be secure and not be living in the enjoyment of that because of a felt lack of assurance. And Paul does not mean that we should have security without the joy of assurance. So he ties these two aspects of the subject together in chapter 5 and indeed in the passages that follow. Now, the argument of the portion that's before us tonight is very simple, very straightforward. Verse 4 has ended up with experience leading to hope. And the first line of verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. This hope Remember what I said about hope. Never forget it when you're reading what the Bible has to say on Christian hope. Hope does not refer to something that we want to happen, but it's in doubt whether it'll happen. Hope rather refers to that which is guaranteed to happen, and we are waiting for it to come to pass. There are certain things that God has guaranteed, and to the justified, He has guaranteed eternal glory. And that hope of glory, Paul says, maketh not ashamed. I don't want to retrace my steps tonight because, as you will probably have figured out already, I have quite a few steps ahead of me to get through this evening, so I don't want to go back over the old ones. But it bears repeating, and we should never forget it, that the hope of a Christian is as solid as the throne of God and as certain as the work of Christ. This hope will never make us ashamed. This hope will never let us down. The man whose faith is in Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. The one who has abandoned his soul to the Savior and who has no merit to plead before a holy God but the merit of Christ crucified and risen again, that man will not fail to enter into heaven because his hope maketh not ashamed. Now, Paul is very much aware of the dramatic importance of that statement. He's fully aware that, judged by the standards of current Jewish belief, and I might add, judged by the standards of current so-called Christian belief, this is truly an amazing statement. But his whole point in verses 5b through to the end of our passage tonight is to show that, however amazing, this statement is nothing but the sober truth of God. And so he proceeds to make this argument. He says in verses 5 through 11, God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost, who has poured into our hearts the love of God, that love that led the Son of God to die for us and to rise again for us to sit at the right hand of God. And Paul is arguing here that if we grasp the reality of God's immeasurable love, we will realize that there's no room for doubt in our hearts. No doubt that believers have an immovable security and a well-grounded assurance. And verse 11 indicates, for anyone in that position, anyone who has security in Christ and assurance from Christ, there's nothing he can do but glory or rejoice or triumphantly, exultingly proclaim glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the atonement or the reconciliation. The great subject here, therefore, is secure in God's incomparable love. Paul has, I think, five statements here. You may hope for less, but we have covered a couple of them, so it will be less. He takes five statements. And the beauty of how, I always like to see how Paul builds his argument, especially in this book of Romans. Sometimes you get the impression that analysis of a book is a dry subject. But in Romans, you will find that half the beauty is in actually how Paul builds the argument. And he has five statements here. Every one of them in itself is sufficient to establish his main thesis, that believers have a perfect security. And yet each one leads to another one until together he brings them in one almighty, powerful argument that leads them to the assurance, we shall be saved from wrath. Now follow him carefully. Verse 5, the end of the verse, God has given us the Holy Spirit. When you realize that God has given the believer the Holy Spirit, and let that sink in, and we've already taken time to study that in some depth and some detail, what it means to have the Holy Spirit. When you consider God gives the believer the Holy Spirit, and the tense of the verb in this particular verse indicates that this is a reference to that crisis experience when God converted us and saved us and brought us into Christ. When he did that, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And when you recognize the full import of that, you will realize it's impossible to have the Holy Spirit and to perish. The Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, God's gift to the justified, is proof of our security. But then he makes the statement in verse 5, that the Spirit witnesses to us of God's love for us. For the Spirit pours, the idea here is, he pours the love of God into our hearts. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us. When you add this to the fact that God has given us his Spirit, you see that when the Spirit witnesses God's love to us, pouring that in to our souls, filling our hearts with the assurance of the love of God for us, you realize this is another great argument that says we have everlasting, immovable security. But now he adds another tier, not the weeping kind of tier, another level in the argument. He has given us his Spirit. His Spirit witnesses to us of the love of God. Now he goes on, God's love is demonstrated by Christ's sacrifice. God's love is demonstrated by Christ's sacrifice. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, notice the four, the Holy Ghost has poured the love of God into our hearts. He's witnessing to us, God loves you. Now how does he prove that? Because when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we know God loves us? Oh, the devil would like to get our attention onto a host of other things. He would like to say to you, consider, if God loved you, why would he let this arise in your life? Why would he let that arise in your life? If God loved you, why would you ever suffer? Why would you ever face illness? Why would you ever have bereavement? Why? Understand this. The demonstration of the love of God par excellence is Calvary. And following Calvary, God needs to do nothing to demonstrate his love. In fact, I could go so far as to say there is no other action that can possibly demonstrate the love of God if you take Calvary out of the picture. This is the very epitome of God's love. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Never forget that. The cross, the greatest possible demonstration of God's love. Notice the force of the word that he uses at the beginning of the 8th verse. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The verb commend means he proves it. He sets forth his love as a proof. He sets forth the cross as a proof of his great love. He says, come to Calvary. See that bleeding sacrifice. Understand what was happening at the cross. Get it into your heart and your mind exactly what was transpiring at Calvary. And when you understand what God was doing at the cross, when you understand that Christ died and why Christ died, etc., then you will know this is the proof that my soul needs of the love of God for me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.